Turn with me, if you would, this evening for a short time to 2 Samuel chapter 15 and the words that we have in verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 21. It's a great privilege to be here this evening and to preach God's word on the Friday of a communion. Friday of a communion is normally a time when we seek to bring out the marks of grace. Very often, in days past, as you know, there used to be a question meeting where brethren would stand and indicate how the Lord has dealt with them, how they have been brought to the Lord, the change that that has made in their lives. The gospel is wonderful because the gospel changes lives. This world is a dark place. To be without God and to be without hope in the world is a fearful thing. We're reminded of that every week and every month, every year of life. It's a dark place. It's a place that without God and without hope, it is a spiral that one can go down into. But what a change the gospel makes. God has not left man just to flounder and to be left in the dark, but God has come into this world and sent his Son into this world. Light has come into the world. And through Jesus Christ, there is a glorious hope. And the Christian is able to relate, surely, in some measure, at least, how the Lord has dealt with them, the change that there is in a person's life when he comes to know Jesus Christ. Many of us know something of that change in our own lives, how God gives us marks that encourage us. Now, Friday night is a night then when we look for marks of grace. And I thought this evening, this is a wonderful passage, really. And it's a wonderful account that's given of Ittai as he comes to meet David. There is no day, I don't think, in the whole of the Old Testament scripture, individual day in the life of any individual person that is more detailed for us than this day when David leaves Jerusalem at the rebellion of Absalom. There is no other day in the whole of the Old Testament scripture that one can think of. There are days that are described, the Day of Atonement and what takes place on these days, but an individual day where David rises out of his bed and all seems to be well, then all of a sudden the rebellion of Absalom is brought in and he has to leave, who he meets as he leaves and all that takes place. There is no day in the Old Testament that is more detailed than this day. And it's a wonderful passage, therefore, because in it we see something of the difference that there is and that grace makes and that God's mercy makes in the life of a sinner. What do we learn then, so far as marks are concerned? Well, perhaps the very first thing we learn is that the Christian ever learns is that he's a sinner. That sin is universal. You come to someone like David in the Old Testament, and David's the main character in this whole account here. And yet, for all that David is a wonderful king, yet David is a sinner. You see that through his life. The sweet psalmist of Israel who fought Goliath was one who had unbelief in his heart. Because when Saul chases after him and pursues him, David flees from Saul and complains that one day Saul is going to kill him, despite the fact that God had said that David would be king. So there's unbelief in the heart of even someone like David. And not only unbelief, but you move on to the account of David of Bathsheba, how he commits sin with Bathsheba. And we all know the account of David, the great sinner. It doesn't actually begin with Bathsheba. David has a problem with women even before Bathsheba, because we are told that David returned to Jerusalem and he multiplied to himself wives and concubines. Now, to multiply wives and concubines for an individual in Israel wasn't right, but it was specifically forbidden for a king to multiply wives and concubines. And yet David did that when he came back to Jerusalem. But then there came a day when David crossed the line. He crossed another line, and that is when he took someone else's wife. And that wife was, that woman was Bathsheba. And then he sends Uriah off to the forefront of the battle. So David has sinned, but David repents of that sin. David repents at the, when Nathan comes to him, David repents. But that's not the end of sin for David. Because one sin that is in David's heart, even right through into old age, is pride. He numbers the people. He numbers the people of Israel. Even though he's told not to by someone like even Joab, tells him not to do it. He's warned not to do it, and yet David numbers the people, and there's pride there. And so you see that even in the life of someone like David, there is sin. And it's one of the marks of grace, surely, when God convinces us that we are nothing but hell-deserving sinners. Even at best, we are sinners saved by grace. But it's a wonderful day when the Lord begins to convict a sinner of his sinship, that of his lost state, and that he is a sinner before God. So we come to the likes of David, and we see that in the likes of David, even a wonderful man of God, yet even he is a sinner. But there's a second thing that we notice as well, and that is that in this passage, and that is that simply being a member in Israel didn't save you. We begin to see the difference between what is a true Israelite and one who's an Israelite merely in the flesh. Absalom was an Israelite, for example, in the flesh. He was a Jew. And so was Ahithophel. Ahithophel rebelled with Absalom, and Ahithophel was raised up in the hills of Judea. He was an Israelite, indeed, in terms of being born and bred an Israelite. And yet he rebelled against God's anointed king. David was God's anointed king. And Ahithophel, along with Absalom, rebelled against David, God's anointed king. There are others who went with the king, with King David, but simply being outwardly part of God's covenant people didn't mean to say that they were truly God's people. There were those who were in Israel, and Paul refers to that later on when he says he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. And circumcision is not that outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly in the spirit. And when you come to look upon this passage of scripture, it warns us that mere outward attendance upon God's church or being part of God's outward people doesn't save. And very often the Lord, in beginning to deal with a sinner, he shows them that mere attendance or merely being part of God's people, either by birth or anything else, won't save you. Being a son of the Reformation won't save anybody. Being a son of 1843 won't save you. Being a son of 1900 or 2000 won't save anybody. You won't be saved just because you're free church. And 1893 won't save a free Presbyterians, because free Presbyterians will be brought before God's judgment seat and they'll be cast into hell. Just as much as free church continuing people will be cast into hell, because being outwardly members of God's people didn't save Absalom, and it didn't save Ahithophel. They rebelled against God's anointed king, David. But there's a third thing that we want to look at in introducing this subject, and that is that there were those who did follow David, God's anointed king. There were 600 who came with David. And as David left the city, a tie came to him, and then he went up, and Zadok and Abiathar came to him. And when he got to the top on Mount of Olives, Zadok and Abiathar came, and then Hushai came. And as he went down the other side, Ziba came to David, and Shimei was there cursing David. He was cursing David, but Ziba came. So there were those 600 odd, plus Zadok and Hushai and Abiathar and these ones. And you know, if you were to ask any one of these people who came to David that day, how is it that you come to be here with David? You would probably get over 600 odd different stories as to how they ended up following David and being with David. We sometimes think that there's one way in which the Lord deals with a sinner and brings the sinner to himself. But my friend, there are many ways in which the Lord will bring a sinner to Jesus Christ. When they used to have the question meeting and you would go to them and men would get up and speak, every one of them would give a different testimony as to how the Lord had dealt with them. Every one of them would testify to how the Lord had convicted them, how the Lord had perhaps after a time dealt with them. Maybe one person would say, I was born and brought up in the church and there was no great experience of conversion. We often look and think that it's going to be some road to Damascus experience alone that saves the sinner. My friend, the Lord brings people different ways and in different avenues. And as I say, if you probably went to the 600 odd men that were following David, plus Hushai and Zadok and Abiathar and all these men, you'd probably get 600 odd different means that they would be able to relate to you what David meant to them and how they came to be where they were that day, how the 600 had came to be with them in the cave before that, the poor and the indigent and so on, how they came to be there. But the one thing that characterized them all is that they all followed God's anointed. That was the important thing. They all came and they followed David, God's anointed. And if you get God's people to stand up at a question meeting, they will all tell you different stories about how God dealt with them, but the one thing that they all will tell you is that they came to follow Jesus Christ, God's anointed King. They came to follow him. That's the important thing, isn't it? That's the important thing for you as you go to a communion season. That's the important thing as you go to the Lord's table, is to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his death until he come. Because however the Lord has dealt with you, whatever means the Lord has used to bring you here to this meeting this evening and to this point in your life, you go to that table and you surely go to that table saying, I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. So the Lord deals with sinners in different ways. He tells us that we're sinners. We are true Israelites only when we follow the Lord, the David's anointed, and we are brought to follow him by different means. Now let us then move on, having introduced the sort of general aspects of our text, let us move on to look particularly at Attai, this man, Attai. Attai was the first man to come to David as David left Jerusalem. He was the first man to approach David that we read of. It says David is just outside the city walls. He's not even reached the Mount of Olives. When he gets up to the Mount of Olives, he meets Hushai, comes to him, and before he gets there, Zadok and Abiathar gets there. But the very first man that comes to David, as he is going outside of Jerusalem at the city walls, is this man Attai. And what do we know about this? What do we see about this man Attai? Well, the first thing you'll notice is that he's not a Jew. Attai is not a citizen of Israel. Attai is a Philistine. Isn't that wonderful? When David leaves Jerusalem, the very first person that you read of as he leaves the city is a Philistine. Wonderful. They will come from the east and the west, and they will feast with Abraham when the children of the house will be cast out. Absalom and Ahithophel, they go their own way, rebelling against God's anointed. And here's a Philistine coming and going with David. How did a tie come to follow David? Well, we don't know how a tie came, but it is most likely that it was when David was down among the Philistines. It was when David was down in Gath among these Philistines. Remember, he was there before. And if you think of what David was like when he was down among the Philistines, remember how at one point he was acting as though he was mad. Spittle from his mouth and everything. And yet Ittai must have seen something in David to convince Ittai that David was God's anointed king. See, when Jesus Christ is on the cross, he is crucified in weakness. The world is reviling him. And yet one of the thieves on the cross behold him, and they know, he knows, this is God's anointed. This is the Messiah. This is the one that I must follow. And he turns to the Lord and says, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Who would have thought that a thief would behold something of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ where he is there hanging accursed upon the tree? Ittai, the Philistine, must have seen something in David even then that convinced him that this is God's anointed. And here he has come and now meets with David. He goes forth outside of the city. He leaves Jerusalem when David is going out of the city. This man goes in faith unto him outside of the city, bearing his reproach. He goes to Jesus Christ outside of the camp. And if you think what this man is forsaking, he's forsaking all the comforts of Jerusalem. He would have been, no doubt, very comfortable in Jerusalem. He's already left his own country. He's now in Jerusalem. Now he's got the comforts of Jerusalem at his hand. But he leaves Jerusalem to follow God's anointed king. My friend, many a sinner in this world is able to say that all the comforts of this world come to mean nothing to them. They must go outside of the camp, bearing the reproach of Jesus Christ. They must go to him. And none of the comforts of this world, I was preaching last week on the rich young ruler, very sad. There he is with all his riches. There he is with all his goods. And Jesus says, go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. And he goes away sorrowful. And here is a Philistine that comes to David's, God's anointed king, and he forsakes all the comforts of Jerusalem that he may follow the king. But it's not just that he leaves and forsakes the comforts of Jerusalem. He's going to have to go out into the wilderness. He's going to have to cross over the brook Kidron, himself and his family. He's got a family here. He's not just himself. There are his family with him. And he's going to have to pass over. He passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him, they all passed over. They were going to have to go out into the wilderness in order to follow God's anointed king. It's not easy, you see, to be a Christian in any day and generation. Ittai had to turn his back upon Jerusalem, and he had to go out into the wilderness with God's anointed king. My friend, that's a Philistine that does that. And the Lord tells us today, and the Lord tells his people, and there comes a time when God's people, God's Jesus Christ says to them, come, pick up thy cross and come and follow me. Do you identify with that this evening? If we were having a question meeting here this evening, there are those who would be able to stand up and say, my friend, I had to pick up the cross. I had to leave the flesh pots of Egypt and the comforts of Jerusalem. And I had to pick up my cross. And I had to follow God's anointed king. And there's another thing as well. Ittai was coming to David and would follow David despite all the bad examples that he had before his eyes, of even Absalom, of Ahithophel, the counselor of David. He falls away. He follows Absalom. It must have been a hard thing for David. I think when you read this, it's as if that's it's like a sword going through David's own soul when Ahithophel. He leaves Jerusalem, ties there, Zadok and Abiathar come to him, and then he's making his way up the Mount of Olives. Before Hushai comes, word comes to him, Ahithophel is with Absalom. It must have been like a sword. It's said of the Lord that his familiar friend, Judas, betraying him, he that ate meat at my table, but yet, Ittai, despite all these examples, remember when the Lord goes over the Mount of Olives, where Jesus himself is going to come back in to Jerusalem many years further on. He's going to come to the Mount of Olives. David leaves and goes over the Mount of Olives, and when he comes down the other side, Shimei is there. Shimei is cursing him. Stones at him, and he's cursing him. Ittai follows David despite the bad examples that he is seeing in others. You know, when the Lord begins to deal with you, and when the Lord begins to, you know, you may think to yourself before you're converted, you might think, well, if that's Christianity, look at these Christians and they, you know, look at all the things that they do. And, you know, there are those who fall away that you would have thought better of, and all the rest of it. And you're, but you know, when the Lord begins to deal with you, it's despite all these things, the Lord draws you with the cords of his love, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says or anybody else does. Many of us can record when the Lord began to deal with us, what those who were our friends previously said of us and said to us, they thought to take us away from going down the road of following the Lord. Ittai went after David, and that was despite all the bad examples that he saw. he was resolved that he was following God's anointed king. And you know, as you then go on to see Attai, you then see further marks of grace in him, because he's challenged. He's immediately challenged. Is this truly a man who will follow me? Will he really come after me? And will he follow me? Think of the words of David to him. Then said the king to Attai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, abide with the king. Thou art a stranger and an exile. They've only come yesterday. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." Attai, you're not even an Israelite. You're a stranger. And it's only yesterday you've really come to us. You've just newly come and followed us. You're an exile from your own people. Why don't you go back? God bless you. It's a challenge, isn't it? Is it time? Is his heart really with David? It's almost bringing back to, it reminds me of Ruth, doesn't it? Naomi and Ruth, you know. Naomi saying to, go back to your own people. Go back. Why will you come with me? Go back to your own people. Be with them. And Ruth says, I will not forsake thee. I will not leave thee. Thy people are my people. Where thou diest, I will die. Attai is now put to the test. And how is he put to the test? By the very word of the king. The word of the king tests him. Is he really one of God's people? My friend, when the word of Jesus Christ comes and tests us, searches our heart, tries the reins, are you really one of God's people? Are you really going to follow the king? Are you going to follow dear God's anointed? Like Jesus with a woman from Canaan, wasn't it? She came, "Master, have mercy upon me. My daughter is grievously ill at home." And the Lord Jesus responded to her, not a word. Nothing. It's a taste. She perseveres and she gets the blessing. Look at the confession that Attai has. The first thing you notice about Attai's confession is how sincere that confession is. As verse 21, "As the Lord liveth. And as my king, the Lord liveth." How sincere Attai is in making this confession. It's as though nothing. It's as though he is laying down before David the very confession of his heart. And he says, "As you are standing here living before me, as the Lord whom you serve liveth, and as the Lord whom I serve lives, what's sincerity. When a Thai talks and speaks here, he's not speaking with double speak or with half-hearted commitment. He is absolutely sincere. And he makes that plain to David, the king. And notice as he responds here, he doesn't deny a word of what David has said. David has said some very severe things about him. He's an exile. He's not one of the Jews. He's only come yesterday. It's going to be a hard road. Why don't you go back? Ittai doesn't answer and respond to any of that. He doesn't say, well, excuse me. I've not just come yesterday. My heart has really been here over the last month. You know, I've only maybe come yesterday. But he doesn't make any excuse. He gives absolutely no denial of anything that David has said. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's anointed King, comes and tells us and speaks to us through his word and tells us that we are hell-deserving sinners, our mouth is closed. We're like Joshua the high priest. When the accuser comes and says of Joshua, how can he ever be saved? Look at the filth that's on Joshua. Joshua's mouth is closed. He doesn't deny a word of what David says. And as thirdly, he gives this confession, this sincere confession with no denial, you discover that it is a confession that is freely given. It's freely given. He's not forced to give this confession. Dave doesn't call for soldiers to come and pin him down and get some confession out of him. It's freely given. I took a funeral yesterday and there were a lot of atheists there. And I said at that funeral, you may have your point of view, and you can have it. And I don't want you today to make a confession of God or anything else against your will. But we pray that God, by his grace, would change the heart and the will of sinners. Ittai is here and he freely gives this confession. And look at the confession that he gives. Surely in what place, my Lord, the king shall be, whether in death or in life, even there also will thy servant be. Wherever thou art, that's where I will be. My friend, is it not good on a Friday night? Spring night, isn't it? Spring is this, and there's a lovely, lovely weather outside. Isn't it great to be in God's house? Reading God's word. Being with God's people. You're looking forward to a communion season where Christ has promised to be with his people. Whether in life or in death, that's where I will be, says Ittai. He loves and trusts God's anointed king. And I also, thy servant will be there. Ittai has become the servant of King David. Isn't that wonderful? A Philistine is now the servant of King David. When Absalom, David's own son, goes off in rebellion. Ahithophel, David's own counselor, goes off in rebellion. Ittai, a Philistine, says to David outside the city walls, I am thy servant. And I am thy slave, thy bond slave. Where the temple was built, I was preaching this some time ago in my own congregation, where the temple was to be built was at the threshing floor of Aruna. And Aruna wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Jew, an Israelite either. On the mount where Abraham offered up Isaac, on Mount Moriah, there was the threshing floor. And that was what David would purchase. And that ultimately would be the place where the temple would be built on ground that didn't even belong to a Jew. And as David leaves Jerusalem, he has a Philistine come to him and say, I am thy servant. Ittai. And the final thing that we notice about Ittai is that as he is coming out of Jerusalem, as he speaks to David, as he says to David this sincere confession that where thou art, I will be there, even in death, even supposing he slay me, yet will I trust in him. David says to him, Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. Pass over. As Ittai passed over the brook Kidron, as he made his way out into the wilderness, what assurance he had. What assurance he had that he was doing right. Because the king had given him the authority. Pass over. Go in peace. Do it. My friend, as you look forward to the Lord's table, to sitting at the Lord's table and to remembering the Lord's death until he come, do you have that assurance? Well, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you have that assurance to pass over and to go to the Lord's table, because Jesus has said, do this in remembrance of me. Pass over. Ittai, yourself, your men, your little ones, go on. You've got my authority to proceed. And as we go to the Lord, you go to the Lord's table and you remember the Lord's death until he come again. Remember this. It wasn't just that to the Lord's table that the Lord gives us the promise for. It's even as we come towards death. As we come to the valley of the shadow of death, we're not like surely those who die out of this world without any hope. They're without God and without hope in the world. It's a terrible thing coming to death, to the day of your death, or to a deathbed, or to be told that you have terminal cancer, or that you're going to die. But you know what Jesus said? He says, go on. Pass over. All will be well with you. Pass over. Because David was going over too. David would pass over the brook Kidron. And he would go out into the wilderness with a tie. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ has already passed over through death into glory. And he says to every one of his little ones, go, pass over, all will be well. You have the word of the King. Ittai went over out into the wilderness. He went with David. He came back to Jerusalem with David. And this Philistine became one of David's chief officers. One of the chief men in the whole of Israel. One of David's greatest men. My friend, that's an encouragement. A Philistine being so richly blessed by God's anointed. You don't need to be a great man like Ittai. You don't need to be a great commander in David's army. Do you know why? Because even the least Christian that you know is a king and a prophet and a priest in Jesus Christ. Everything belongs to you because you are Christ and Christ is God. Marks of grace. The marks of grace that brought Ittai out of the Philistines to behold something in David the king. Have we seen something glorious in David's greater son? That brought him to make a confession that was freely given, I will go even unto death and be thy servant. Is that our confession? Well, we have the assurance. Go in peace. I am with thee, and I will be with thee, even unto the end of the earth. Let us pray.